crazy. I know not all my preachers are right. I cannot look at you and say, all these men ain't nobody smoking reefer. No, I'm not going to lie to you. No, don't look at nobody. Look at God. So, but guess what? We are all in the same boat. We are all working our soul salvation. Every day, we're trying to come closer to God. I'm not better than them. They're not better than me. We all try to know God. And the more we know God,
this is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday Worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
Covenant of Christ, Pastor Brady, Pastor Alford in his absence, Minister Simons, Minister Harbor, and to those thousands and thousands of listeners and believers who will be blessed through our radio ministry, and to you, O citizens of the kingdom of God, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. There is a word from the Lord on this second Sunday of this brand new year. I've been asking the Lord, what would he have us to say to his people today? You may come down if you please. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, you will find these words that are written. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, I need you to pray for me as we preach God's word. If there is to be powerful preaching from the pulpit, there must be powerful praying from the pews. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, you will find these words that are written. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, watch this, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he saw them, and when he saw them, he said unto them, now watch what Jesus does. Jesus never goes up to them at all. Jesus does exactly what he has seen his Father do. You see, Jesus was with the Father when the Father created the heavens and the earth. Jesus never had to go up to them, but watch this. He says, simply, I want to employ you in your blessings. Somebody here need to know what I'm talking about. The Lord says he wants to employ you to be a part of your healing. He says, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they obeyed, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, the least of all people. And Jesus answering and said, where are the 10 that was cleansed? Where are the 9? He said, where are the 9? And they are not found that return to give glory to God, except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go your way. Your faith have made you whole. I want to talk to you today about the power of gratitude. I want to talk to you today about the power of gratitude. The grass will wither, the flower, it will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Listen, in our 21 days of prayer and fasting, you will find that this is day 11. And on today, we're talking about, we are asking and seeking God and talking to God and giving him gratitude for our healing. Amen. You ought to be shouting about that. Because, listen, a lot of times we look at praise, we look at thanksgiving, we look at worship, but we do not realize that gratitude holds power. Power of being, listen, with an attitude of being thankful as to what God has done for us. Many of times, my brothers and my sisters, we don't realize that when we thank God for what he has done. Now, here is where your thankfulness goes to another level as to when you start thanking God even before you receive it, before it manifests in your life. When you start thanking him and you don't even have it in your hand. You take your thankfulness, you take your gratitude, you take your worship to another level when you start saying thank you and you haven't even received it yet. When you start saying thank you for my deliverance, thank you for my healing, though the symptoms are still there, the healing has already taken place. Somebody here ought to be shouting right along there, because God sees what you don't see. Preach, Reverend Turner, when you get to a point to where you can start saying thank you to the Lord, let me tell you, notice that this leper started to thanking God when he saw his healing, he turned back. Let me bring you to the text. Let me bring you up to the text just a minute. Let me take a few minutes to bring you up to the text. Jesus comes into Galilee and Samaria. First of all, Samaria was a town that Jews were not welcome, simply because you had in Samaria what we call half-breeds. They were half-breeds. They were not accepted into the family of the Jews because they were half-breeds. And they had the Samaritans, when you go back in history, when the Jews went into captivity for 7 years into Babylon, where Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, and Ezekiel and Jeremiah was, when the Jews were taken into captivity for 70 years by King Nebuchadnezzar, when they were taken off of the land of Canaan, it was then that the Samaritans went and rested and resided and took up domicile in the land of Canaan. So ever since then, the children of Israel, when they came out of captivity, the Samaritans said, listen, we got just as much right to this land as you do. And so what they did was they said, we are descendants of Jacob, and so therefore we will not leave. And so they begin to reside in parts of Jerusalem and in Galilee. Jesus breaks down the barrier of racism in chapter 5 of the book of Luke when he goes to a woman of Samaria coming to get water out of the well. You remember her, don't you? You see, he broke down the barriers when he went there because there was a bit of racism going on between the Jews and the Samaritans, and the Lord wanted to show that he loves black and white. It does not matter what color you are. It does not matter what race that you are. You see, Jesus, and sometimes when we won't come to Jesus, Jesus will come to us. Preach, Reverend Turner. And so Jesus met the woman at the well, and he broke down the barriers because she said, listen, we still hear from the Old Testament, and this well our father Jacob dug, and so therefore we got rights to this well. And then Jesus said, well, give me some water out of the well. She said, oh no, the Jews and the Samaritans don't drink together. And Jesus said, well, look, let me break this whole thing down. He said, well, where your husband at? She said, are you with me yet? She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You had 5, and that one that you have at home is not yours. He said, but I'm going to look through your faults. How many of you glad he looked clean through our faults? Preach, Reverend Turner. And saw our knees in the shape that we were in. Jesus had the audacity to look past all of that clutter and all of that stuff that we think that we are, and saw what we are in need of. Watch this. And so he looked at the fault, he saw her knees, he broke that down, and then he broke the woman down so far, he broke the barriers of racism down so far until the woman had to drop her water pots. How many of you know that many of us are still carrying? We still carrying a load. We still carrying hatred. We still carrying racism. We are still carrying anger and unforgiveness. Drop your water pot. So he breaks down. That was a Samaritan, and so they were still hated. They were still there. And so Jesus says, listen, I need to pass through this region again. Because after she dropped her water pot, she went to go and preach. Somebody didn't get that yet. After she dropped her water pot, she was free to preach the gospel. You see, you can't preach the gospel until you drop your water pot. You can't tell me about Jesus and you still got a load. Come on, talk back to me if you can. Come on. You can't tell me about Jesus if you still haven't forgiven someone. If you haven't gotten that anger out of your heart, that malice out of your heart, you can't talk to me about the Lord. So watch this. So he breaks down the barrier. And so watch this. And so Jesus said, I need to pass through here once again. Everyone in here needs to know that if the Lord visits you once, he will be back. Don't throw your hands up. Don't feel like you are so bad or in so bad of a shape until you messed up so bad until the Lord will never come back. He will come back to you. How many of you know that he's a God of another chance? Not of a second chance, because we messed the second chance up alone. So he's a God of another chance. Watch this. And so he makes his way back through this region again. And you need to know today that the Lord in his humanity went this way, but in his divinity, he already knew. Are you with me yet? Because Jesus was just as much God as he was man, and he was just as much man as he was God. So in his humanity, he went that way, but in his divinity, he already knew that they were there. See, that tells us that the Lord don't stop by your house just by coincidence or accident. He know that you're sick. He knew you were sick before he got there. Are you with me yet? He came there to your house. That's why you ought to have an attitude of thankfulness, because Jesus came to heal you when nobody else could. So he gets there, and when he gets there, not only was there one person, but there were 10. Jesus passes through this region, and the Bible says in verse 11, when he gets there, he passes through the midst. He gets in the middle of the mess. Look at the word. Come on now. Look at me. In the verse 11, notice that the Bible says that he comes in the midst, which means that Jesus comes in the middle of our mess. Somebody didn't get it yet. He comes in the middle of the mess. When he gets there, he finds that there is a mess in verse 11. And when he gets there, he says, he finds these 10 lepers, and he gets there, and they begin to cry out. And as he entered, verse 12 says, and as he entered into this, it was not just a village, this was a certain village. How many of you know that your house is a certain house? Your house is not just any house. Your house is a certain house. Your house is such a certain house until it's a place to where Jesus will come. He enters this certain village. There met him 10 lepers that had leprosy. Now, I need to talk to you about leprosy, because leprosy was a debilitating, incurable disease. It came from the Old Testament. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, that if you had leprosy, only God and only his divine healing could heal you of leprosy. There was no medicine known to man that could heal anyone of leprosy. Only God himself could do that. Now watch this. Jesus goes there, and as he goes there, he tells them, he says, listen, here's what I want you to do. As a result of them, in verse 13, acknowledging him as master. Master means Lord, and the Lord, the one they wanted, the Lord, if he didn't do anything but have mercy on them. Somebody here ought to, if the Lord don't do anything, you ought to ask him for his mercy. Talk back to me today if you can. Lord, I might not be able to ask you for a new car. That's really not what I need right now. I don't need to find clothes. I might not need that right now. What I really need as a result of my sins is your mercy. Because it is God's mercy that will let us live another day. It was God's mercy that will wake you up another morning and give you another chance. Am I talking to anybody in here? It's God's mercy that will keep your heart beating, keep your stomach rising and falling, and keep it full. Trust me, friends, you're not here and you're not looking as good as you're looking because you've been so righteous and holy. Let me just walk down somebody's alley. We're not here because we've been so good, we've been so righteous, and we've been so holy, and we've been so upstanding with God. It was because of his mercy. So they look what they asked Jesus for. Their request right off the top was not of healing, but for his mercy. Watch this. God's mercy carries healing. Do I have a witness in the house? It was because of God's mercy that you got healed. Healing is a bedfellow of mercy. He gets there, and Jesus caught, confined, and captivated my attention because he didn't go up to them. He simply told them, look, I'm going to employ you and make you a part of your own healing. He says, go and do what you were instructed to do in the Old Testament. He says, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, the reason why the Lord wanted them to show themselves to the priest is because in the Old Testament, the people knew that only God could heal them of leprosy. Are you with me yet? So when they showed themselves to the priest, when they came before him and they had been healed of leprosy, they would know that the Messiah has made it on the scene. Y'all gonna talk back to me? Because they're gonna know only God can do this. So the Messiah, the one whom God has sent, is here. So he's got to be here. And so therefore, he wanted the priest to go and shout and tell the people that the Messiah is here. Watch this. And as they were going, the Bible says, as they were going, that they were healed. Are you with me yet? And as they began to go, they were healed. They were not only healed, but it came that as they went, they were cleansed. In verse 14, they were cleansed. In verse 14, the Bible says that as a result of their healing, they were cleansed. Now, as they begin to go, they were healed, they were cleansed, and watch this. And when they got there, now what does leprosy have to do with us today? Leprosy to them was a debilitating disease, and to us is sin. Look at my first point. Watch this. First, in verse 11 through 13, this disease caused, watch this, it caused separation. Somebody say separation. You see, leprosy, if you had leprosy, you could not be in the city, you couldn't be around friends, nor could you be around any family, because this disease caused separation, which tells us that our actions and sins results in separation. Are y'all gonna talk back to me? I'll be through in just a minute. I'm gonna leave you in just a few minutes. It causes a disconnect of our fellowship and of our fellowship. And eventually comes spiritual, moral decay and death. I want to talk to somebody today. Because when you separate fellowship from God, then you separate fellowship. And when you separate fellowship, then comes spiritual and moral decay. You start finding yourself in places that you never thought you would be in. You start saying things that you never thought that you would say. You start thinking things that you never thought that you would ever think. It's because there is a separation. We have people, you know, we can fake it good. We can pray the Lord. But if you are separated, if your sins have separated you, there is no fellowship and there is no fellowship. This is why people can't follow the Lord all the way. Stop, start, stop, start, in, out, is because that fellowship is broken. God told Adam, he said, Adam, just as sure as you eat this fruit, there's going to be a separation. Will you walk around? Yes, you will. Will you get your hair done? Yes, you will. Will you get your nails done? Yes, you will. Will you wear a nice suit? Yes, you will. Will you drive a nice car? You sure will. Will you have a good job? Yes, you will. Will you have money in your pocket or a long bank account? Sure you can. But there is no fellowship. You're talking, but Jesus isn't. And where there's no fellowship, there's no fellowship. We start to follow ourselves. In the book of Genesis, as a result of Abraham taking matters into his own hands, And sinning with Hagar, as a result of that, God didn't talk to Abraham for 13 years. Are you with me yet? Separation. Leprosy. Back then caused separation. Sin now causes, somebody says separation. Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't be separated from the Lord. Don't be like King Saul in 1 Samuel. The Holy Spirit left him and he didn't even know it. Watch this. Second point. Secondly, we will discover that in verse 14, we have confirmation. After there's separation, then there's confirmation that only Jesus could heal us of our sins. There is no medicine known to man. Counseling, love it. We need it. We need counselors. Doctors, we need them. Physicians, pharmaceuticals, we need them. But they will not cure your sin. Technology cannot cure your sins. iPad, I don't care how many you get, iPhone, Galaxy 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I don't care how many toys you get, it will not cure sin. Let me tell you what medicine will only do. Medicine will only sedate your problem. Some of us think we have a psychological problem, and it's not psychological, it's a sin problem. I just thought maybe I'd hurl that one out there for free. It's not psychological. It's a sin problem. It goes, it's not in here, it's in here. Psychological problems, we might be able to handle that. We got some medication. We have technology that in some cases can turn a psychological problem all the way around, but a sin problem. When you hate somebody in your heart, talk back to me. When you can't forgive somebody in your heart, it's a sin problem. Watch this. No medication. Only Jesus confirms that he can heal our sins. Can I help three people in here before I leave you? Because my time is just about up. But let me help you. Everything known to man is good. But Jesus, if you want to be healed, take it to him. I like AA. I think AA is good. I think AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, I think Gamblers Anonymous, I think that they're great. I think that they're good tools. I think that they're good help. And I think that they're needed and necessary. But only thing that can cure you of your sins. Everybody scared to say his name? Somebody say, only Jesus. You've got to take it to the Lord.
We here at Christian Love Baptist Church would like to invite you to our Christian Love Family Life Center, located 3515 Hudson Boulevard, next door to the Christian Love Baptist Church. You're welcome to join our fitness center with state-of-the-art equipment. Need a place for a wedding reception, family reunion, or conference space? Well, look no further than the Christian Love Family Life Center. We can meet all your needs with the latest audio and video equipment. For more information, contact Miss Patsy at 318-709-8116. Or Ms. Linda Johnson at 770-371-3466.
Mahler Furniture, a community institution, always providing excellent value at affordable prices. All furniture, bedding, and accessories at amazing value. Interest-free financing. Layaways also available while you're waiting for that tax refund. Remember, you didn't buy it from Mahler, you paid too much. Marler Furniture is a proud community sponsor, 98 Bolton Avenue.
When you experience the loss of a loved one and you need to select a funeral home, Robinson Family Mortuary is that funeral home. Robinson Family Mortuary is locally owned and operated in the city of Pineville, Louisiana. Robinson Family Mortuary serves the entire community of Central Louisiana and surrounding parishes, including Natchitoches, Avoyelles, Grant, Wynn, Allen, and throughout the entire state. Robinson Family Mortuary is staffed with over 40 years of tender loving care and experience. Robinson Family Mortuary offers cremation, floral arrangements, headstones, and catering for your repast. For information regarding any of our services, please feel free to contact Dolores or Tyrone at 318-442-7300.